Our gospel reading today is from the sixth chapter of Luke. It's often called the Lucan Beatitudes. And Jesus has known around Galilee, and folks are showing up and asking him to touch them and heal them, to restore them. And crowds of people are gathering and wanting to be around him. Hear now the gospel of Luke, chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor now, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who mourn now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they revile you and exclude you and defame your name on account of the Son of God. Rejoice and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, because this is what they did to their ancestors, what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and you will weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for this is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But to those of you who listen, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. And for those who take your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. And those who take away your goods, do not ask for them in return. Give to everyone who begs. Give to everyone who begs. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Invite the children to head out. Renata Erickson is going to be reading Lyle and the Birthday Party. We'll be hearing that, plus a version of today's story in words that are in vocabulary that's more suitable to their ages. One of the people that I lit a candle for was Rose. Only I don't think I ever called her Rose. Her name was always Rosie. Rosie was a woman I met back when I was beginning grade 11. We just moved to Austin, and she was the sponsor for our youth group. She was extraordinary. At that time, I think even last week I mentioned that I was really shy. But that was just the many of a long list of things that I was scared to do because I didn't want to be embarrassed, because I was afraid that I might fail. And what she did was make grace real for me. She made grace real for me. Somehow, all the other people that were in my life that were showing me grace, somehow out of way of saying, "Yeah, but I need to do something in order for you to like me or love me." But she kept loving me and being gracious to me and also seeing in me something that I didn't see in myself. She kept saying, "You're a leader." And it's like, there's no way. And she kept pushing me and encouraging me. And whenever I gave my usual excuses or arguments, "I can't do that. I've never done that before." She goes, "Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine." And even when the times I wasn't fine, I was fine. She created this safe space that gave me confidence. Literally, that word's wonderful. With faith. She gave me the with faithness to try leading conversations, to try singing out loud for others. Even the youth were putting on this play for the whole congregation, and she said, "Oh, you need to be the main actor." And it's like, there's no way. She said, "Oh, you'll be fine." She made grace real for me. And I light a candle in remembrance of her and who she was. For me, I mean, she's one of the biggest people in my life as far as who I am now, and no small part of why I stand here before you as a pastor. But in the eyes of the world, she was nothing special. She sold some real estate. I mean, she had a nice house. I remember when she got a new car, it's like, wow, this, you know, she's really rich. But when she was driving that same new car 20 years later, I knew that she wasn't particularly rich. And I wish I could say that she didn't have tragedies. I wish I could say that she was famous. I wish there's so many things that in the eyes of the world I wish I could say, but the truth was, she was nothing special. Except to me, I think my sister, and Tana, and Bill, and Melinda, and Melissa, and the other 40 or 50 youth that I knew when I was in the youth group, not to mention the other 40 or 50 youth that through over 30 years of working with youth ministry that she touched, that she made grace real for. The way that she created faith and love and hope and even confidence. Today's gospel, I almost started off the sermon by going, who lives like this? Jesus is lifting up those things that the world kind of says, this is what you need to strive for riches, for wealth, for fame, for having all that you need and never having to go hungry or thirsty, to accumulate all and to have the world go to speak well of you. And he says, actually, that is not what there is to strive for. I think of Rose. What she strove for most of all was relationship with her youth, as she called them. But also, it wasn't just the youth. It was the whole church. She invested herself in the church. And she did those things that, as I read today's gospel, I think of. I look at the verbs at the end where Jesus says, love your enemy. Jesus says to love, to do good, to bless, to, what was the last one? To bless, to pray, and to give. These are the action words of what the kingdom of God looks like. These are the action words of what it means to be a disciple. Just as Jesus was talking to his disciples, so also I address you. As disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, I invite you to recognize when you're chasing after those things that everybody else is chasing after. And ask the question, what does it look like right now for me to pray, for me to bless, for me to give, for me to do good, for me to serve and work toward the kingdom? It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to understand from the normal point of view why you might be blessed when you're poor, or why you might be blessed when you're hungry, or why you might be blessed when you're mourning, or why you might be blessed when people are dragging your name through the mud on account of being a Christian, because of doing good and forgiving and praying and loving. That is the depth and mystery of the gospel. There is something that poor people have, that we have when all of a sudden we recognize that we are in need of someone else to help us. That's what the poor represent. Folks who have reached the end of their abilities and are relying on the benefit of others. For folks that are hungry, they're reminded that it's not about making sure you're comfortable. It's about making sure that people that are hungry like you also get to be fed. And if you spend your whole life avoiding tragedy and trauma and mourning, you'll have a very, very lonely life. Because to love someone is to set yourself up for mourning. All of these candles represent people in our lives. People that we have loved, people that have loved us. And we shed tears for them. Our heart breaks. We miss them, not because they were particularly rich, because they had everything they wanted in the world, not because life was perfect for them, not because everybody agrees that they're wonderful and they're famous and these are people to be edified and lifted up. We light these candles because they invested themselves in us. They may have given us money, but it wasn't about any money. It was about the love that they gave us. It's about the ways that they modeled for us what it looks like to live a kingdom life. Jesus finishes his sermon, so to speak, in the extreme. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Only, I would say, that can put us off, right? We're supposed to go chase after enemies and love them. I think it was Jesus' way of saying, just love. Love everyone. Begin with your parents, your children, your spouse, your brothers and sisters. Love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Blessing is wonderful. What it is, it's about speaking a good future for others. Asking that their future may be good. Cursing is to wish an ill future on others. Jesus says, whoever you encounter, speak and work toward a good future for them. Love is not just an emotion. Love is about putting the needs of another before your own. To love your enemies is to let go of the hatred, animosity, revenge, everything that's there, and find a way to stand for, to pray for, to bless their future. Whenever you encounter someone who feels like you are their enemy, throw them a curveball. Mystify them by doing good and loving them. The keys of the kingdom are these holy acts that are represented before us. The people that have loved, the people who have served, the people that have given, people that have forgiven, the people who have made grace real for us. These are holy acts when they did them. We honor them by calling them saints. When we pray, when we love, when we give, when we bless others who might curse us, when we pray for them, we are participating in the holy acts of the children of God. Jesus says, rejoice and leap for joy, for surely your reward is good in heaven. It's good in heaven, but it's also good now. Pray, do good, love, give, bless others, encourage others. Be part of the kingdom of God here and now. And also, when we join our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, cousins and uncles who are celebrating with God right now. Amen.